In a series on the Holy Spirit, if you've been here for the last few weeks. And so this morning we're blessed to have Tom Milligan is going to come and share with us on revelation knowledge.
Morning. Want to start out today. Today is Myra's and my anniversary. She's put up with me for 46 years. We were three when we got married, but today also is Ken and Tanya's anniversary, right? And I know there's a number of September anniversaries. If your anniversary is in September, stand up. Would you mind? Do that. I know there's a bunch. Yeah. Cool. Thank you all. It's kind of funny, when Myra and I got married, she didn't know I was going to talk about this. So, we had a mattress when we first got married that had a hole in it, and the springs would poke through. Well, it was on my side. Well, we found out if we turned the mattress over, the hole became on her side. So we just kind of took turns, you know, who was going to get the spring to poke them in the middle of the night. But how long did it take us to get a new mattress? A year? We put socks in it and all kinds of stuff. But we made it. As Pastor Perry said, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and what He means to us, what he does for us. The whole idea of God speaking to us has been something near and dear to my heart for a long, long time. And very honored to have the opportunity to speak with you. Basically, we're coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, "So each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So all the things that happen for the Holy Spirit, it's not to make any one person great or make any one person a hero. What it's designed for is to make all of us better. That as the Holy Spirit manifests Himself and He shows up in different ways, it's for all of us. It's for all of our common good. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you this morning. How long has John 3:16 been true? Okay. I was 19 before I came to accept that. What changed between forever and me being 19? What happened? Something was revealed to me that made that scripture true to me. Jesus said that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, I put a little different twist on it. I say the truth that you know will set you free. That the truth is out there. I don't want to quote an old TV show, but the truth is out there. And the key is us finding it and seeing what God's saying to understand where that truth is. So today I want to talk about the whole idea of hearing from God. It's kind of a new idea, but really it's not. It's been around for a long time. And so I just wanted to share with you some things about that. What is it? First of all, the whole idea of knowledge, of understanding things. What is a word of knowledge? What is revelation knowledge? What am I talking about? It's a supernatural understanding of things of which we really have no way of knowing. It's where God will speak to our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and we'll have an understanding about a situation. We'll have an understanding about a problem, about a person, that God will speak and He'll drop these little things in our spirits just by being around. So some of the basics that I want to start with, first of all, God knows everything. Nothing catches Him off guard. Nothing surprises Him. Whatever happened to you this week, He knew about before you were born. It said that He wrote down the plans of our life while we were still being knit together in the womb. He understands. He knows what's going on in our lives. The second part of the thing that we need to realize is that we don't. Now, I don't know about you, but I know some people that think they do. But we do not know everything. Everybody, we all in that boat together? We honestly don't know. Matter of fact, we don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. We have no idea. We don't know. But the good news is that God will reveal things to us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us forever. So he will speak to us. He will reveal things to us. So we're going to get to how does he do that and how does that happen in a little bit. First of all, I want to say that there's kind of like three levels on which this can happen. The first one is there are individuals, and here it talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 14. There's something called a gift of this knowledge. It's where people with the function in that, very much the people that have the gift of prophecy or healings or miracles or any of the nine gifts of the Spirit, someone that has this one flows in this just regularly all the time. It's just part of their ministry. It's who they are. It's what they are. It's what they do. It's who they are. That's the first level, if you will, okay? The second level is probably where most of us fit, and that's occasional. You know, we'll tune into God and say, God, what are you saying? What's going on? Many of you know I've done woodworking for a long time. I enjoy doing it. I still have all my fingers. There's some of them are kind of damaged, but I still have all my fingers. I get a new tool next week. You also know I had a brother that passed away about a year ago. My sister-in-law asked me something a couple of weeks ago. At first, the question kind of set me back. She wanted me to build a box for his remains. What do you do with that? You know, I grew up with this guy. He's my brother. My reaction at first, I hope my face didn't show what my head was thinking. Okay? What do you do with that? Well, I needed to hear from God. What do you do? See, this is an everyday, this whole idea of receiving a word of knowledge from is for everyday living. It's not for church. It's not for just special times. It's something when we got a question that we don't know the answer to, that's a great time to tune into the Holy Spirit. What are you saying? For me, the answer came 2 days later, which I will tell you sometimes it's 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. But this one came 2 days later. And believe it or not, I was unloading a trailer full of rocks. Spiritual things. And I felt like God said to me while I'm unloading rocks, it said, somebody's got to build it. It might as well be you. Problem solved. Called my sister-in-law. Here's what we're going to do. What do you think? I've got it built now. Okay? It looks pretty cool. Curly maple and Buckeye wood. He was a Buckeye fan. So, occasional. You can tune into the Holy Spirit anytime. The third one is what I will call a spirit of revelation. When does this happen? Probably during church this morning, during an awesome worship service. That's a great time to tune into the Holy Spirit because he's here. You got questions? Great time to ask them because the spirit of revelation, just like the spirit of prophecy or the spirit of faith can come upon an assembly. It can happen when there's two or three people gathered together. It can happen in home groups. It can happen you're talking to somebody praying over the phone. But a spirit of revelation can come when you're around other believers and you're talking about the things of God. It's amazing. Saul, the king, got in the company of the prophets, and what did he start doing? Started prophesying because he was around other prophets. You get in a church like this, you get it. The spirit of revelation can happen. It's just there. Okay? Matthew 16 is where I want to spend the good portion. Actually, it's what my whole thing is based on. And I puzzle when I read a Bible verse that I don't understand. I just quit being a Christian. What's the point? I don't understand it. I'm kidding. It's called sarcasm. Okay. But what you do when you don't understand something is write it in the margin. Put a question mark out there. Pray about it. Ask somebody. Figure out what's going on. Well, one of the things that bothered me, I'll just read this verse. And starting in verse 15, they were asking Jesus, or Jesus was asking them, who do people say that I am? You know, important question, who is Jesus? Well, they said, some people say you're Jeremiah, you're Elijah, you're John the Baptist, or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus asked a very specific and important question for all of us. He said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." There's a large church movement who believes, and this is the part I struggled with, because if you read it just the way that it is there in English, you read that, you're Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. I always puzzled about that. It's like, wait a minute. The Bible says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The Bible says we are lively stones. In 1 Peter, it talks about us being stones and we're being built together into the house of God. Peter's one of those lively stones, but why would God build a church upon a man? It puzzled me. I couldn't understand that. So, like I say, there's a large church, around that, believes that, you know, Peter was the first pope and, you know, that's the way it is. But when you want to study on which rock, well, Peter, you know, actually his given name was Simon. You know what the name Simon means? It means a reed blowing in the wind. Jesus changed his name from Simon to what? Rock. You know, God changes names for people. He changed Abraham to Abraham. He changed Jacob to Israel. Changed Paul to Saul. Jesus, they change his names to fit what's going on. Well, Peter, the actual word here is that you are Peter. The Greek word there is Petros, which means a little piece of the rock. I'm talking about prudential, but it's a little piece of the rock. But when he goes on to say, upon this rock, he uses the word Petra, which is a different Greek word, which actually means a large, massive rock. Well, we've had this rock in our front yard that, you know, it's been every time I mow, there's a little more of this rock that's showing. And I wanted to plant a tree this summer, and so I thought, you know, where that rock is, that's a good place. And I didn't know when I started digging. Fortunately, the rock was only about this big around, but it made a great start for the hole. We lived in a house in town that kind of had the same problem. Well, I started digging on that rock, and guess what? That rock's still there. Because it's a big one, okay? But the church, or the thing that Jesus said he was going to build his church on was something called a large, massive rock. He's not talking about Peter. So what was he talking about? I believe that the key is held a little bit further up when the word revealed. Now, Myra's a great cook. You ever had any opportunity, anything, Myra cook? She's a good cook. She's good. In a lot of aspects, she's gooder than my mother. Okay? No, it's not sacrilege. But sometimes when I'd come home from work, I'd come in the house and it smelled so good. You ever do that? You come in and smell, but you don't know what's cooking? You go over and pull the lid off and look, see what's cooking? That's what that word means. That when it says here that this is what is revealed to you, that's the word. It's like Jesus from time to time, when we ask him, will pull the cover off so we can see what he's got cooking. Not that complicated. That's the rock that Jesus is building his church on. When I come to an understanding of the grace of Jesus Christ, that truth has set me free, it is now something, it is a revelation, it's a knowledge that I can now build my life on. It's solid. And as I said earlier with my brother in that situation, it's not something that's just for church. Matter of fact, I'm here to tell you, we need to use it out there. What do I do, God? I don't understand. Some New Testament examples. Okay? Jesus. The first one and the last one, you feel free to look these up. Matthew 12:25 and Luke 11:17 are cases where the Bible says that Jesus knew their thoughts. Okay? They were trying to trick him. The religious leaders were coming to Jesus and they were trying to trick him, and the Bible says he knew their thoughts. How did he know them? Somebody had to tell him if he knew him, right? John 4:29 is an interesting verse. We're going to read that one. John 4:29. The story is one that you're probably, many of you are familiar with, but it's, Jesus was talking to somebody that he wasn't supposed to be talking to. He sent the disciples into McDonald's to get lunch, and he's sitting there at a well, and a Samaritan woman. Men were not allowed to talk to women, and you really were not allowed to talk to Samaritan women because they were half-breeds, and you're not allowed to talk to them. And it's a long story on why he wasn't supposed to be talking to them. He wasn't allowed to be talking to her according to the rules. Okay? And he says something to her, says, go call your husband. This is in John chapter 4. He says, go call your husband. And she says, I don't have one. He says, you're right. You've had, was it five? And the guy you're with now is not your husband. Okay, count that for me. How many words of knowledge just happened from Jesus to this woman? How many? Two? Three? Depending on how you count them. What's her reaction to that? Is in John 4:29. She told, going back to her village, to her town, and says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Now, I am sure that she's done more than three things in her life. But the impact of a word of knowledge to her, she understood. Here's somebody. He told me everything I ever did. Somebody actually ministered to me, and it brought deliverance to her. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But the whole idea about what is it supposed to do? Now, Peter also... The story in Acts chapter 5 is there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. I don't think it was their anniversary. But they conspired together to hide some money from God. And they lied, basically. And by the way, this is a great verse if you want to talk to Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, because in one case, Peter said, I think it was Ananias, said, you lied to God. But then when Sapphira come forth, he said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. The consequences were the same. Therefore, I've learned in arithmetic that 3 plus 2 equals 6. Therefore, 2 plus 3 equals 6. Or 5, sorry. I was telling Myra yesterday, we went past somebody where I'd done business with. This is totally off the track. But he stutters when he talks. Well, I was working some, the first time I met him, I was working some arithmetic out, and I did the arithmetic wrong. And he looks at me and he says, I can't talk, but I can add. True story. True story. So, we've got the woman at the well that Ananias and Peter, so he had a word of knowledge to understand that there was some deception going on. Philip, now sometimes we have to, I don't know about you, but I somehow think I've got to hear trumpets and thunder and all this stuff to know that it's God talking. Elijah was in a cave and lightnings and storms and earthquakes, but the voice was in a still small voice. Well, Philip got the profound, he got two, the Holy Spirit dropped two different things on him. Number one, go down that road. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Pretty deep. The second word that he received from the Lord was, go stand by that car. Actually, the word was chariot, but go down that road, go stand by that car. Those are two pretty profound speakings of the Holy Spirit. But Philip was obedient. Went down that road, went and stood by that car, and there happened to be a guy from Ethiopia in there reading the scriptures and didn't understand it. Philip took the opportunity to explain it to him. The guy got born again. He got water baptized right then and there. And as far as we know, the first time, that was when the gospel was taken back to Africa. As far as we know. Because of, go down that road, go stand by that car. So we get the idea that it has to be some big, profound word. No, it doesn't. Not at all. It can be something fairly simple. We make things too complicated. I will also tell you that it's not very often that when God has spoken to me, it's very seldom is it going to be full. I receive the whole package. Most of the time, I just get a little piece of the puzzle. Jesus You know, there's a story in Mark chapter 9, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the little boy with the demon, and, you know, the disciples couldn't cast the demon out, so they brought the little boy to Jesus. And Jesus asked a question, how long has he been like this? But Jesus also knew what kind of demon was in the boy, so he was able to minister deliverance to him when the disciples couldn't, because he understood. So he got some partial. We also have Peter. When he was told in a vision that he was supposed to go with people, well, they get there and knock on the door, he says, why have you come? So he knew they were coming, but he didn't know why. Perfectly okay to only get a piece of the puzzle, to only get a small part of it. Paul, you know, they said he was going to go to Jerusalem, but he said, I'm going to go, but I don't know what's going to happen. Okay? So it's perfectly normal in Christian life. That's where that five-letter word called faith comes into play. You get something like go down that road, that's where faith comes in. And we put feet to what he's doing and what he's saying. Why would God talk to us this way? What's going on? First of all, the woman at the well, I just read the verse where it says, come tell, met a man who told me everything I ever did. It brings conviction to people. The second thing that it does, and these are not the only things, but it brings repentance. There's a story in 2 Samuel chapter 12 where David and Bathsheba got off the rails and ended up in murder. David had Bathsheba's husband murdered. And he thought he'd gotten away with it. And then Nathan the prophet comes in and tells him a story and then says, and David got all angry because somebody got ripped off. And then Nathan pointed at David and said, you are the man. Knowledge can bring repentance. It's a demonstration of power. Jairus' daughter is a case where in Mark chapter 5 that Jesus was going to her house to heal her. Well, halfway there, some servants came and told Jairus, sorry, but your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And Jesus' response to them was, be at peace. Everything's okay. How would you know that? The little girl's dead. Well, he goes and raises her from the dead because he knew everything was going to be okay. Lazarus, he waited 4 days before he went and raised Lazarus from the dead. How can you do that kind of stuff unless you understand where the power of God's at? Word of knowledge, revelation knowledge can bring that kind of a peace to you. Also, it brings release. Nathanael, when Jesus called him, Jesus said, I saw you sitting under a tree. I saw that. John 4:42, it comes back to the woman at the well, where she went and told everybody, come see somebody who told me everything I ever did. And then the people come out to hear Jesus and said, first we came out to hear you because of what she said, but now we ourselves have heard. And so that word of knowledge affected a whole community and brought them around to seeing and talking with Jesus. So, what does he sound like? What does he sound like? We just studied this morning in, wrong number. That's probably not how it's going to happen. That's probably not how it's going to happen. Okay? We just talked this morning in Mark where Jesus was walking on the water and disciples were in the boat and they were scared. And Jesus said, it is I. Well, we talked this morning, it wouldn't have mattered who was out because they thought he was a ghost. Okay, it wouldn't have mattered who was out walking on the water. Anybody could have said, it is I. Right? If you ever thought about that, anybody could have said that. But they were at peace because he said, it is I, be of courage. How could they thought it was a ghost. How could they be of peace and be courage? Because they knew what Jesus sounded like. How did they know that? They spent time with him. And they got to know his voice. So how do we get to know what Jesus sounds like? They say, I was just shoveling rocks out of a trailer. But I know what he sounds like when he talks to me. Sometimes it'll come as a spontaneous thought. Quite honestly, that's what happened to me moving rocks. All of us, I'm not thinking about building a box for my brother. I'm thinking about these rocks are heavy. How much more do I got? I got this, you know. That's what I'm thinking about. And all of a sudden, in comes this thought, well, somebody's got to do it. Totally out of left field, not what I was thinking about. I've learned that's what God sounds like to Tom. Now, I don't know what he sounds like to you, but I hope you do. Okay? Sometimes it can just be an impression. I'll call that a vision. You know, Daniel, our hero, heard from God in multiple ways. He had visions. He had dreams. He read scripture. He had ways that he heard from God in multiple different kinds of ways. An impression upon your mind, just a, kind of a, an understanding. And the next one is very difficult for me to explain, but you just know. Now, if you do receive something like this, it's important that it lines up with scripture. You know, you're not going to receive a word from God to go steal a payday candy bar. God has already spoken about stealing payday candy bars. What has he said? Thou shalt not. Okay. I don't need to pray about going and finding a soulmate, because God's already said, thou shalt not. I'm married. Okay. End of discussion. I don't need to pray about that kind of stuff. He's already spoken. But a lot of life is lived. We got to find out what's God saying right now. What's going on? And you've got to learn how God speaks to you. Now, one of the things that we're going to do, I've asked the, if we could have a musician come. I've asked the personal ministry team this morning that when we come forward, we're going to practice some of this, okay? And I'm going to pray while they're up here too. I'm going to pray that, remember we talked about earlier that how does this come? Spirit of revelation. And I'm going to pray for those of you that may not even want to come up and have some of these folks lay hands on you and pray for you. I'm going to pray that the Spirit of revelation will come upon you, that you'll get an answer. That the Holy Spirit will talk to you right now about something you've been puzzling over for days, weeks, months, years. Doesn't matter. But in this group, the Holy Spirit will show up and the Spirit of revelation will be here. If you want some help kind of getting over the finish line, come on up and let these folks pray with you. Okay? So, if y'all would stand, personal ministry team, if you'd come forward. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. We thank you, God, for what you're about doing. Thank you for the ministry that you provide, and thank you for allowing those of us to participate in what you're doing. So, Holy Spirit, we ask for you to come. Speak to all of us, whether we come forward or not. Father, things we're puzzling over, things we don't understand, things we've got questions about. Spirit of revelation, I ask you to fall right now. In Jesus' name. If you've not invited Jesus into your heart, this is a great day. This is a great day to ask him into your heart so this could be for you too. So, thank you, Jesus.